This is an iHeart podcast.
We have to have a hard talk about crime, and this may hurt to hear. We're going to talk about the Joe Biden auto pen scandal. I think it just got even bigger. We have all that. Are we going to war with Venezuela? And so much more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, I hate to do this on a Monday, but we are going to have a discussion, just you and me, about crime, where we are now, and where we're going. What? How do we fix all this? And of course, to talk about this, we're going to talk about that murder in Charlotte that everybody's talking about. I have no doubt you've already seen it, or at least heard about it by now. Beautiful 23-year-old Ukrainian girl working in a pizza parlor trying to make ends meet in Charlotte. She has an animal sitting beside her, and this animal had been arrested previously 14 times. Obviously just a subhuman animal who should be locked in a cage at least the rest of his life, but instead had been set free over and over again by communists. And look, we're going to show you the video now. This is not a video of the murder. It stops before the actual murder happens. But in case you haven't seen it, here it was. It's terrible. Terrible beyond belief. So we're going to have a dark talk about crime. And this is not going to be something you've heard a lot of, because in response to this, people are obviously angry and they're sad and they're saying things like, we need to lock these criminals up. So let's get a couple things out of the way. Yes, it's true. A small percentage of society does almost all of the violent crime. Almost all of it. It's not everybody in one part of town or something like that. A small percentage does all the violent crime. And if you take those people and lock them up, the violent crime disappears overnight. For instance, Washington, D.C. You, me, we've all been talking about Trump's cleanup of Washington, D.C. It went from a place more dangerous than almost any city on the planet to sparkling. Not even any arrests. It's, how many people do you think, let me ask you, how many people do you think they removed off the streets to make Washington, D.C. clean and safe? 1,700. That's it. All those people, 1,700 people off the streets, and just like that, everyone can walk around safely again. It's a small percentage. So, because the number is small, because the percentage is small, we think the solution is simple. Well, just arrest those people and throw them in prison and then we'll be safe. And I'm not saying you're wrong for thinking that, but it's more difficult than that, and here's why. Allow me to explain. Some of this we talked about before, some of it we haven't. Communists, first of all, you have to understand, if you don't get this point, honestly, just turn off the show, because you will never understand what you're looking at. If you do not understand what I'm about to talk about, you will never get it. Communists want people murdered on the street. They want people raped. They want people robbed, because it creates anxiety. It destabilizes society. In a destabilized society, is more ripe for a communist revolution. We've talked about this before over and over again, but if you are using terms like soft on crime, they're soft on crime, you do not get it. You have no idea what you're facing. If you think that we're facing some sort of naivete, he turned that killer loose and he killed someone else, that judge is just naive. He's soft on crime. If that's what you think you're facing, you have no earthly idea what you're up against. These are demonic, evil people who want people murdered. I know it's hard to accept, But no Democrat in the United States of America looked at that video and was actually saddened or outraged. Every one of them looked at that video and saw opportunity, baby. All the way back to the Soviet Union, they opened up the prison, let all the murderers and rapists out. But that brings me to the important part, the darker part of what we're about to talk about here. It's not just that they turned loose the murderers and rapists in the Soviet Union to destabilize society, rape, murder, kill people, all those things. I guess murder and killing people is the same thing. It's not just that they opened up the prisons. They also installed judges. Judges who ensured over and over and over and over again that when those criminals inevitably committed more crime, that they would not get sent to prison, that they would get off scot-free with a slap on the wrist. They don't want violent people in prison. They want you in prison. Violent people help their cause. It's on purpose. Intentional. It's not soft on crime. Please stop using that freaking term. It's pro-murder. It's pro-rape. For a purpose. Now, I bet you didn't think it could get worse, but don't worry, it can. Judges, DAs, that's where the problem lies. This judge in Charlotte, this judge that has she, her pronouns on her social media page, this judge came out of law school, worked her way like the vile little communist she is through the judicial system, and now she sits on the bench, not to administer the law, not to preside over cases. She sits on the bench to do a job, the exact same job the Soviet judges used to do. Her job, in her mind, is to ensure violent criminals are set free. And she's a judge. And law schools are churning out legions of these savages every single year. Law schools have always been a little lefty. Now our law schools are flat evil. Evil in the most communist institutions in the United States of America, and they are printing credentialed animals and sending them into our judicial system every single year. Legions of them. And they're all going out to do exactly what this judge just did. That's how bad the problem is. You can say till you're blue in the face, well, just lock them up. You gotta have the judges for that. Well, send in the National Guard. As soon as Trump's gone, National Guard leaves. Judges are still there doing the same thing. We can put Band-Aids on this problem, but the problem is now deeply, deeply rooted since we allowed the communists to conquer essentially the university system, most definitely the legal university system. They conquered it, and now they're producing an army of judges every single year. We cannot and will not solve violent crime in blue areas until we stop producing the judges and remove the current judges from the bench. Now, those two things, changing the system and getting rid of the judges, they take a lot of time. And I'm not saying we shouldn't try. Of course we should try. We should begin. Let's begin to do the work right now. But this is not an overnight fix. What does that mean? That means for the foreseeable future, for years and years and years, even if we start now, possibly decades, these judges will be on the bench turning the animals loose. That means that you're going to have to adjust your thinking as it pertains to blue areas. Certainly living there. Certainly sending your young daughter, young son there, where the animals are set free and look at her like prey. I don't want to live in that kind of country. I know you don't either. I want to be able to visit Charlotte. That has my favorite airport in the country. I love Charlotte. It's a place near and dear to my heart. But that's the world in which we live. I'm here to tell you that you need to, if you can, get to a place where you can defend yourself and not be thrown in prison for it. I know that's not the solution you want to hear. I know we don't want to have to live in the old West where you have to carry around a gun on your hip or some monster will take what is yours. But that is the world in which we live now. Communist judges preside in blue areas, and they are there specifically to let rapists out of jail, let murderers out of jail, and they're not sorry. They're not going to change their ways. Even if we cleaned up D.C., that doesn't mean we can fix every blue hellhole in the United States of America. You had better get somewhere where you are allowed to stop an animal when he tries to hurt you and not get thrown into prison for it. If you happen to live in a blue area and you can't, and I know that's many people, maybe that's you, you better find whatever legal means are at your disposal to physically defend yourself. And I don't mean call the freaking cops. That is not a solution. It's time to start being proactive about your personal security. I don't want to live in that world. Who does? I don't either. I want to go back to whatever time period it was where the animals were sent to their cages where they belong and weren't set loose on society. I'm just like you. I have children too. I think about this all the time. I've had my children with me in New York City that could easily have been one of my sons. It is time to take ownership of your personal protection. Whatever is legal at your disposal, you had better take advantage of it. And if I can be Daddy Jesse, before we let you go, we're going to go talk to Liz Collin in Minneapolis. I have one too, okay? I have one too, cell phone. We all do. We have these smartphones. I have one too. And don't think that I don't get on my phone too much, just like you do. I was sitting around, shoot, right before the show started. You know what I was doing? Sitting there scrolling through, putting up a tweet. I do the same thing. Checking my email, same thing. I'm not different. When you are in public, get off your freaking phone. I have to yell about this. My boys now know it. I freak out if I see them walking around on their phone. Don't you ever walk around like this. You have no idea what's around you or who's around you. If you are, God forbid, on public transportation, get off your freaking phone, get your back to the wall, and look around you. I know that sucks, that you have to operate like you're a wounded gazelle on the safari somewhere. I know that totally sucks. I get it. But that's the world in which we live. Put your phone down until you are in a safe place. If you have to get on it in public, stand up against the wall, send off a tweet, and then walk back down the sidewalk. Because the animals are here, not just foreign, domestic ones. And we have a judicial system now that wants them free so they can hurt you. Plan accordingly. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Liz Collin knows more about crime and what happens and what it does to a city than anyone should know, because she's watched Minneapolis descend into darkness, and we're going to talk to Liz Collin about that in a moment. Now, speaking of cell phones, who do you pay for your cell phone? Because you know, speaking of all this violent street crime, it's increased since the whole George Floyd protests. You remember that? A lot. Those were the thing that really, really destroyed any criminal enforcement in the cities. You know that. Have you looked up what Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, what they were doing? Let me go ahead and give the game away. They were supporting it, giving your money to the animals to destroy your cities. Are you going to continue paying them for that? Go look up what Pure Talk did. Pure Talk didn't participate. Pure Talk's been the patriotic cell phone provider for a very long time. They're who I use. And they'll save you money. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
They are against preventing crime. They are fighting us.
They are. I'm glad the president is getting in on this. These people are not soft on crime. We've got to stop using this term. It's very obvious at this point in time. These aren't well-intentioned people who just make a mistake. They're pro-crime, and it's destroying our cities. Do you know how wonderful Minneapolis used to be? I remember I went there as a kid. My dad took me there to watch an NBA game, and I thought it was the coolest freaking place in the world. And then I talked to people like Liz Collin about what it's become, and it freaking breaks my heart. Joining me now, Liz Collin, investigative reporter, wonderful one for Alpha News. Liz, it's obvious the destruction is intentional at this point in time.
I think so, Jesse. I mean, you can just point to so many policies and procedures that have put us where we are in Minnesota. I can just point to this horrific carjacking spree last week. And sadly, this is reminiscent of so many news stories, but two innocent women killed. This guy, Edward Arrington is his name, goes on this carjacking spree in Minneapolis at about 8 o'clock in the morning. During the week, police chase him as he's firing his gun through the city. He crashes and kills two innocent young mothers who are out on the road at that time in the morning with a child in their back seat. But we've documented so many stories over the years. People given a break by these lenient and left-leaning judicial system in the state of Minnesota. And then here we have the real-life consequences that happen in their wake.
Liz, can you expand on how Minneapolis has just withered away? Because I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It kills me that a great city like that has turned into what it's turned into.
Yeah, you know, I also think we can point to the Minnesota Freedom Fund. This made national news in the wake of the riots back in 2020. Kamala Harris, then vice president, promoted this on her X account, but this nonprofit raised $40 million in the wake of the riots and cash bail, this cash bail program that we saw kind of spread throughout the country. Interestingly enough, a few months ago, it announced it was going to do some restructuring, so the Freedom Fund is no longer offering that cash bail program. But that's really where we saw so much of this, these long criminal rap sheets. And I'm not saying, again, that that's not still happening, but these people with clearly warning signs that should be locked up, and they're simply not because they're given a break again and again. I could point to just even something like hundreds of car windows smashed out in Minneapolis. This is something we've been covering for weeks now. I'd actually say it's probably thousands at this point. But police no longer chase people committing property crimes, so they're allowed to get away with it. And this cycle continues in Minneapolis, Jesse.
Liz, why don't police chase them?
These are all policies that have changed in the wake of George Floyd. So many, in fact, so many were changing just in the weeks, the years that have followed. Police have told me they couldn't even keep up. And again, we're talking about a police department that is down about 40% from where it once was, if not even more. So you simply just do not have the police. You still have, for the most part, the population. But not the police, and sure enough, criminals also get the message, Jesse, that they're able to get away with it.
Good God. How many cops, because last time we spoke, Minneapolis was way down on the number of police they require. I can't imagine that number has gone up much. Who in the world would want to be a cop in a place like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're talking the beginning of May of 2020, nearly 900 police officers on the force in Minneapolis. That number is about 500, but this is the number that isn't reported much. I think it's about 260 that are actually patrol cops. So these are actually street cops who are on the streets, not even 300 cops on the streets of Minneapolis. It's interesting how the numbers, they play a bit of a game here in Minneapolis, like we see in these other blue cities across the country. But what they do with stats is quite interesting. I think a lot of similarities to Washington, D.C., to be quite honest. And also they do that with some of their police numbers as well, counting these people who are just joining the ranks as cops. Well, we know that it takes quite a bit of time to get through the program, to get on the streets and whatnot. But they're not exactly quite honest with the full picture here.
Yeah, they're a bunch of big fat liars. I mean, I know you can't say that, but I definitely can. All right, let's talk about something that's just horrible beyond imagination. That shooting last week, obviously, that some demonic person shows up and kills a couple kids at mass. It was just the worst freaking thing. It's every parent's nightmare, right? It's my nightmare. It's every parent's nightmare. And it was awful. And the political response there was just so sickening to everybody from the outside looking in.
I couldn't agree more, Jesse. It took basically just hours for this to be turned into a gun issue by Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. You had this horrific shooting that takes place, two children killed during morning mass before school at Annunciation Church in Southwest Minneapolis. We know that 18 other kids were injured. Three adults were also injured in the gunfire that went on for nearly 2 minutes that morning, just as the school day began. And you have this Robin, whatever I guess you want to call him, this trans individual who goes on this shooting spree. No one wants to talk about this. There were clear warning signs in his past. No one wants to talk about that part of the story. Instead, it's been made all about guns by the politicians here in Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz trying to get a special session to go forward to get Republicans to come back to the state capitol in St. Paul to talk about more gun control, while ignoring, I think, what is pretty obvious to anyone with any common sense.
Liz, what history?
Well, you have this individual, Robin Westman, who had his name changed by his parents, according to court documents, as a minor. He was 17 at the time. And he, from what we've been able to confirm, was sort of in and out of several schools and kicked out for different behavioral issues. He actually was a student at this Annunciation school, and his mother was worked there at the parish, I should say. So there was clearly a connection to that area. It was only about a mile. The church is just about a mile from where his dad lived. His parents were divorced. Had a breakup recently. She has identified herself as a furry. There's just a lot of this that has become part of the culture in Minnesota that it seems, again, they do not want to talk about. And I've been in touch with many doctors. We've done many interviews over at Alpha News with doctors, people in the medical profession, over these days that have followed since the shooting. And they're saying, you know, until you actually address, you know, these issues, the fact that these kids have been lied to, you know, nothing is going to change. But it was very quickly, within hours, Jesse, that this was made all about guns.
A furry. I feel so old all the time now. I guess I'm just really, really old. Okay, Liz, you did a ride-along with ICE. I'm incredibly jealous. How'd that go?
You know, it was really amazing to see the great work that these guys and gals are doing each and every day. They are out in full force in Minnesota. Interesting also to hear about these politics at play that they're up against. You know, jails not calling them in Minnesota if they have people that are here illegally that have committed crimes. So instead, they're forced out into the field, you know, basically going to homes, places of work, you know, out in the public to apprehend these people and get them deported. So we were lucky enough to ride along with them and hear about what they're doing each and every day. They're getting ready to ramp up their workforce in St. Paul to spread out statewide. They have about 10 teams out each day. But a pretty interesting high-profile person that was arrested while we were there with them, and that is a state employee, a former state employee, I should say, under Governor Tim Walz. But this is a Kenyan national who was convicted of raping a woman, breaking into her apartment, and he was eventually hired by the state of Minnesota, not by one agency, but two agencies, Jesse, and we were able to do some reporting this summer after we received some information about his criminal background, and the state says, oh, you know, we actually don't check criminal backgrounds for this position that he held within the Department of Education, if you could believe it. So instead, he was making $145,000 a year as a director at that agency, and then was fired after our reporting. And now we are waiting to see what happens if this judge will decide to now deport him in the wake of all of this.
Hold on, Liz. I just want to make sure I understand you correctly. After he broke into an apartment and raped a woman, he was hired by the state to work in education. Do I have that right?
You do. Yes. Sadly, that is, in fact, the truth. We couldn't even believe it ourselves. And then the state came back, Jesse, and said, you know, he's not subject in this position. He's not subject to a criminal background check. And they've since now said they're going to do things differently. But many things do not surprise me about this state at this point, but this certainly did. And it really created, for good reason, an uproar. And it was nice to see ICE take some action.
Good grief. Liz, before I let you go, how much of a political force is the Somali population of Minneapolis? It gets all kinds of play on social media, but you never know what's real and what's not on social media. Is it the juggernaut it's made out to be?
Well, you know, I encourage people to head to alphanews.org, where we've done so much reporting on this pervasive Somali fraud that has happened in Minnesota these last years, including the Feeding Our Future scandal. I think it's the 76th person has been charged now in the wake of that, primarily Somali. So yes, I do encourage people to check out the reporting there. I think you can draw the connections for yourself.
Liz, appreciate you as always. Come back soon. 76 of them. It sucks. Because Minnesota is such a cool state. You know how great the fishing is in Minnesota? Gosh, it sucks. What does it mean to feel good? I feel good. Do you feel good? I don't feel good. Well, the truth is that we don't feel good. In fact, we feel bad way too often because our levels are off. Our energy. We shouldn't need a cup of coffee at 3 in the afternoon. Now, don't get wrong. I love my afternoon coffee. It shouldn't be I need this because I'm dragging. When you get home from work, are you still full of pep, ready to go? Make dinner, go for a walk, play with the kids, or are you out of gas? Try some chalk. It's about to change your life and make your life better. Try some natural herbal supplements, some chalk, and you're gonna find out what it means to feel good. A better mood, better energy, your mind works better. You'll be better at home, you'll be better at work. Your entire life gets better when you allow chalk into it. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV. Your life's about to improve.
Are you considering attacking the cartels inside of Venezuela? You attack?
Well, you're going to find out.
What's going on in Venezuela? Are we going to go to war with Venezuela? We nuked the drug boat, and now we're getting ominous messages. Even Bukele in El Salvador is putting out, buckle up stuff. Let's talk to Ildefonso about it. Joining me now, Ildefonso Ortiz, investigative journalist with the wonderful Breitbart. Okay, Ildefonso, act like I don't know anything. Please explain why they deal drugs out of Venezuela. Do they have a cartel there? Why are we nuking drug boats? What? Give us the skinny. The floor is yours.
Well, historically speaking, a lot of these countries, Mexico, Venezuela, Colombia, actually the government has been part of the drug cartels. I mean, they've been basically pulling the strings. In the case of Venezuela, we have Maduro, who's illegitimate president of Venezuela. He runs what's called Cartel de los Soles, which is basically a government-run cartel. It's known as Cartel de los Soles because, it's the emblems that they use in the military uniform. And that cartel is basically made up by Maduro, some of the top government officials, some of the top military officials. They were the ones really pulling the strings in the cocaine production business and getting those drugs over here. Earlier this year, the U.S. government declared the Cartel de los Soles as a foreign terrorist organization, and that actually kind of opened the floodgates. Now, the U.S. was able, it changed the rules for the U.S., and that's what allowed them to basically take out their boat in international waters. Regardless of how people, in other countries want to spin it, basically, this is no different than the U.S. taking out ISIS in a foreign country. Basically, they took out a boat of people that were bringing drugs, but it wasn't that they were bringing drugs. These are like members of a terrorist organization that were moving drugs towards the US, and they took them out as such.
Okay, let's focus on the boat for a moment because I got all kinds of play last week, and we all got onto Twitter and watched the video of the whole thing. But I'm certainly not a maritime expert, but I know a little bit. That little boat was going all the way to America from Venezuela. Do I have that right?
Yes. So what they do is they load up these speedboats or these boats with large quantities of cocaine, 1,000 pounds, 2,000 pounds, and so forth. However much they can fit. And what they do is from Venezuela, Colombia, or other countries, they basically hug the coast. They're bouncing from beach to beach, reloading or refueling actually, and then just till they get to Mexico. From one once they get to Mexico, then whichever Mexican cartel was gonna basically take care of this load, they basically move them through Mexico with the blessing of Mexico's government officials. They get the drugs to the border, they cross the border and into any US city. We have to remember something. Just like in Venezuela, in Mexico, the government officials are deeply involved in this. And how do I say this in a nice way? For example, when we look at somebody like El Chapo or El Mencho or El Mayo, these big name drug lords, what makes them strong is not really the number of gunmen and weapons that they have. Their true power comes from their circle of influence, and that circle of influence includes government officials, judges, lawyers, companies, banks. And that is why when they by declaring them as terrorists, it sort of switch everything on because then government officials are afraid to work with them. And that is where Maduro is in a tight spot now, because now he's also not only is this cartel in Venezuela being singled out as the terrorist group, but now he's singled out as the leader of that terror group. So things are getting very hot for them in Venezuela.
Okay, what is, before we get back to Venezuela, although this is about them, what exactly is Tren de Aragua? By now, a lot of people know prison gang or whatnot, but I've been told by people I trust that they are part of essentially a paramilitary force that does enforcement on foreign dissidents. What do you know about them?
Well, we have to remember, they're called gangs, cartels, and so forth. But in the last 20 years, drug cartels became paramilitary groups. It started in Mexico with Los Zetas. That was the first time when you saw, when you think of cartels, it's not just, that fat guy with cowboy boots and a hat. It's actually teams of highly trained paramilitary groups, guys that, they can go to toe with military forces from other countries. These guys are heavily trained. So that's the model of the cartels now. Now, when looking at Tren de Aragua, you have these guys that, they're a gang that came from a prison area in the area of Aragua. And, pretty much the Venezuelan government took advantage of the whole Venezuelan migrant crisis to get most of them over here. They got over here, they basically were able to infiltrate communities, basically get a heavy foothold in the US. And in a very short amount of time, they became one of the dominant groups that was operating in the United States. So these guys are at the level of the MS-13, at the level of any of the Mexican cartels. That and you have to remember that, they have the blessing of the Venezuelan government and the support. So these guys became a very dangerous player very quickly.
Did Venezuela send fighter jets to buzz our ships down there?
That they did. Shortly after the US blew up that boat, the Venezuelan government has basically, I believe it's been two separate incidents where they've flown over our ships, buzzing them. The US government has already said, we're not going to put up with this anymore. You do that again, those airplanes are going down. And tensions are rising. And funny enough, though, what's happening in Venezuela is serving as an example to show other countries, kind of like Mexico, which has been, while they claim to be helping the US fight cartels, they've actually been dragging their feet. They're basically trying to do just enough to avoid tariffs, but they're actually, not really doing what they're supposed to. Because if Mexico actually went after the drug leaders, half of Mexico's government will be in prison right now.
Ouch. Trump said he was not seeking regime change. I thought this was interesting.
Reaction to those words, and also, would you like to see regime change in Venezuela?
Well, we're not talking about that, but we are talking about the fact that you had an election which was a very strange election, and to put it mildly. I'm being very nice when I say that. I can only say that billions of dollars of drugs are pouring into our country from Venezuela.
Billions of dollars, but we're not seeking regime change. So what are we seeking?
Well, you have to remember, Maduro technically lost the previous election. I mean, basically, he used his power to stay in power, and that was when, a whole other issue that went on in the past. So he, even Marco Rubio himself had said the other day that Maduro is the illegitimate leader of Venezuela since he lost the prior election, and he was able to basically rig the elections to basically win. And he's been in power for a long time. And, his government has not been recognized by other countries as well. Funny enough, though, Mexico recognizes Maduro as the president of Venezuela. So, you have all these other countries like Colombia and Brazil that have recognized him, and they're the ones that are saying, "Oh no, the U.S. is pressuring Venezuela and so forth." But in reality, the U.S. does not recognize Maduro as the leader of Venezuela. So technically, it wouldn't be a regime change if he was to basically be arrested or something. Plus, also, there is a $50 million reward for Maduro's capture. He is wanted in the U.S. on drug trafficking charges. He has numerous indictments in the United States as the leader of the Cartel de los Soles.
So, sorry, Alfonso, final question on this. If there's a $50 million reward for his capture, Venezuela is a country that obviously has fallen on economic hard times. We claim we're not going for a regime change, but that sure sounds like we're practically begging for a general to march into the capital and hand him over, right?
Well, you have to remember that the generals in Venezuela, they basically are part of the cartel that is run by Maduro. And in recent days, they've gone into a bunker. They've mobilized their troops, which is kind of funny because they claim to have 4.5 million volunteer troops, but they don't even have weapons. And most of these troops are people in their 50s and 60s or average citizens that have been forced to basically don a uniform and march and claim to be ready to defend Venezuela, but they really don't have a powerful army to defend themselves. Mainly, it's an army to protect their drug loads.
Thank you, brother. Come back soon. I appreciate it. We haven't forgotten about the auto pen stuff, and we need to talk about that. Next. Well, there are things that aren't a big deal to the general public, to the normies out there, that are oftentimes the most important things. Almost always, the things the public isn't paying attention to, those are the things that matter the most. You know about them. I know about them. We pay attention to this stuff, but normies do not. Your normie friends, they don't really care about the Joe Biden auto pen stuff, do they? Mine don't. I don't really hang out with political people. Almost all my friends are normies, even the ones who fancy themselves as being political. They don't care about it. I'll bring it up and their eyes glaze over, or maybe they'll give a little snide remark, "Yeah, what an idiot," but no. It's time to discuss this because now we're finding out more and more. We're finding out that in Joe Biden's final days, remember, it was weird, just thousands of pardons, way more than any president ever had. It was just a get out of jail free card. And in the final days, Joe Biden wasn't signing them, didn't even know about them. Well, this isn't just about criminals getting out on the streets. It's about so much more than that. This is about who was actually running the United States of America. Who was acting as president of the United States of America? Did Democrats install a cadaver as a president, and then a bunch of communist savages around him ran the United States of America for 4 years? I asked the question because every bit of evidence we have points to yes. I mean, you remember things like the press conferences, if they could ever drag him out of bed to do one, and how it went every time. Remember the one after Afghanistan? They instructed me to call on, and who instructed him? Who's running the United States of America? Who's giving instructions to the President of the United States of America? The United States of America is wounded after 4 years of Joe Biden's presidency. We just spoke to Ildefonso. You just watched that segment with Ildefonso, and he talked about Tren de Aragua coming into the United States of America. And what did he say? The open border. Joe Biden's presidency, on top of everything else, we imported a Venezuelan paramilitary group into the United States of America because Joe Biden was installed as president of the United States of America. Who ran the United States of America for 4 years? We have to know about this. This is not a small passing thing. This is everything. If Joe Biden wasn't running the show, we need to know who was and who's going to prison for such a scandal. And I'm glad, to his credit, Trump's not letting it go.
Well, I think the EuroPen is one of the great scandals of our time. The EuroPen was our president, or to put it a different way, whoever operated the EuroPen was our president. It's not allowed. It's just not allowed. And they gave a pardon to the unselect committee. So I think it's a tremendous scandal.
What do you think the media would say if you pardon your kids your last day in office via an auto pen? Don't you think the media would go haywire?
Well, I think it would have been a big story. I like this guy.
It would be the hugest story in the world, but let's set that aside. Let's not do that. Well, if they did it, let's not do that. The communists did it. The communists around Joe Biden ran the United States of America in the most vicious communist way they possibly could, doing as much damage as they possibly could. And they did that without the authority to do so. You did not vote or even have the opportunity to vote for Lisa Monaco. You did not have the opportunity to vote for Anita Dunn. You did not have the opportunity to vote for the communists who opened up your border and declared war on Christianity in the United States of America. That's another thing that's coming out right now. It was more than just a little bias here, a little bias there. The communists in the Biden regime declared war on Christianity. I'm actually glad Senator Tim Kaine came out last week and said this, because it is so revealing about how these people think.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
Extremely troubling. And you do know why he finds that troubling, right? Well, who's the government? It's Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine is a communist. Tim Kaine can't do all the things he wants to do to you if you admit and acknowledge a higher power than Tim Kaine. If there's a higher power than Tim Kaine, then at some point in time, you will push back. You will stop him. You will say, no, this is evil. This is wrong. No, we can't do this. But if Tim Kaine becomes your God, if he becomes the bestower of rights, well, then Tim Kaine can do whatever Tim Kaine wants. And they all think like this. And that's exactly why they sent the FBI into your church. That's exactly why they declared war on Christians in the United States of America, because they understand that is the group most likely to oppose them and all their evil plans. These people are not naive. These people are deeply, deeply evil. And don't you ever forget it, all right? All right. Let's make fun of Don Lemon on Light in the Mood. Next. But it's time to lighten the mood. And Don Lemon is one of those people who should have been more grateful for what he had. He existed on CNN for a very long time because he's black and gay. He has no talent whatsoever for media at all, but he was making a big paycheck there for a long time. But he couldn't just be a good little boy, and eventually he got canned. And now he finds himself out there doing these man on the street interviews, and even pedestrians are just savaging him.
How you doing, sir? Can we talk to you? Where are you from? Do you live in New York?
Who are you?
Don Lemon.
You're a moron, dude.
Thank you. So are you.
Yeah, that's very nice to say. Except you've never heard anything I've had to say, and I've heard a whole bunch of what you've
I'm glad
had
you
to
watch
say.
Me.
No, I don't.
Why?
But you just get clipped everywhere.
I know, but why don't you? You said you don't watch me, but you know who I am, and I get clipped.
Before I realized that CNN and MSNBC were full of shit, every once in a while I'd
what
see
you
talking.
What do you watch?
I watch all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, but why do you say CNN and MSNBC are full of
Because they lie.
How did? But about what? Be everything. Specific. What's everything?
Everything.
Couldn't happen to a better guy. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.